Friends, in the wide world of video games, there are some that are considered the worst, and some that are considered the best. Many deserve the titles they're given, and some do not, and some are the worst best games ever. What the heck does that mean? Let me try and explain it in this episode of Space Castle. Welcome back to Space Castle, it's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, and this week, I want to talk about the worst best video games. What I mean by that are video games that are considered some of the best of all time, but some fatal flaw keeps them from true GOAT status, despite being seemingly universally loved. Space Castle is almost always about just getting you excited about stuff, but this week, I'm gonna piss some people off. I'm gonna start some shit. I'm gonna ruffle some feathers. I'm gonna Jimmy's. Okay, I'm out of weird sayings for this. So, we're going to kick things off, and I'm going to come in hot with the very first one. It's motherfucking Halo. Now, I have had an absolute blast playing through the first few games in the series, but it was when I played through the first two or three with my former co-host Seth and our good friend Brian, who actually also co-wrote and performed guitar on the Space Castle theme song, that I actually had a really fucking good time with the game and loved the experience. You thought this episode was going to be about just me bitching about overrated games, but no. These are actually games I think have incredible merit and are important for everyone to play, but are just fucking weirdly frustrating experiences and strangely not well put together or planned out for whatever reason, but they are games that I think are some of the best ever anyway. Are you confused? Cool. Me too. Let's continue. So Halo is the first-person shooter that came out for the original Xbox in 2001. As if you didn't already know that. It is a story of Master Chief, aka John 117. He is a Spartan, which is to say he's like a 7-foot-tall, cybernetically enhanced super soldier. He and his AI companion, Cortana, who he's probably in love with, which is not nearly as far-fetched and hilarious now as it was in the early 2000s and 2010s, are important figures in Earth's war against a hostile race known as the Covenant. The Covenant has just attacked an Earth base on the planet Reach, and destroyed it. A human battleship called the Pillar of Autumn escapes, and determined not to allow the Covenant to learn Earth's location, basically kind of jump into hyperspace in a hurry to get away. They come out of light speed and they stumble across a giant terraformed ring out in space. The Covenant finds them, they attack the Pillar of Autumn, and it ends up crash landing on this massive ring planet thingy. From there, the plot of the game, I mean, if you want to call it that, deals with trying to defeat the Covenant while also discovering the true purpose of the big old giant ring planet thingy, which is called a Halo. So spoiler alert, the Halo is actually one of several, and they're all weapons of mass destruction. And they're central to the series, which seems like it actually might never end. But actually, with the come and go that was the release of Halo Infinite, I think maybe, well, I'm not going to say it's going to end soon, but I think maybe it might be due for some sort of an overhaul or a, you know, re-examination. I don't know. So, everyone knows Halo. But when you think about it, how many people ever actually talk about the single player or the plot? Very few, right? Even my former co-host Alex, who is one of the biggest Halo fans I've ever met, is mostly just a fan of the multiplayer, with single player being sort of an afterthought for both him and pretty much every other person I've ever met who really loves Halo. And here's the thing. The single player is boring as fuck. It really is. The hyperbole and memes about the game just being a series of boxes and hallways when it's released is not actually hyperbole at all. It's a weird fucking experience that started out as a real-time strategy game, and then it became a third-person action game, then it became the first-person game that we all know it as today. And it kind of does feel like a weirdly cobbled-together, not fully complete experience, and it just kind of feels weird in a lot of ways. But that multiplayer, especially for me, the co-op campaign, are fucking great. The game is a slog to try and finish on your own, but if you're surrounded by one or three friends, and you're doing split-screen co-op, and you're swapping controllers in between beers and slices of pizza, you're gonna have a fucking great time. The game just doesn't work as a single-player experience, for me personally, And for that reason, I think it's one of the worst best games ever. It's a weird, boring, meandering, and monotonous game that is absolutely fucking fun if you have friends to play it with. Next up on my list of worst best games ever, and likely to be the source of lots of hate mail and death threats coming my way, is the Pokemon series. Originally created by Satoshi Tajiri in 1996, the Pokemon franchise is managed by the Pokemon Company, which is co-founded by Nintendo, the video games developer Game Freak, and a company called Creatures. Creatures are actually the company that's responsible for developing the Pokemon card game, and they're also responsible for the character modeling and animation for all the Pokemon in each of the video games. It's a weird situation where these three large partners are all part owners of this massive umbrella company that oversees this gigantic fucking franchise. And while it's kind of cool, I also think it's the source of many of the reasons why Pokemon, in general, kind of sits atop this list of the worst best games ever. Now again, I have spent my fair share of time playing Pokemon games. I was actually too cool for them when Pokemon first exploded into the scene stateside. I was in junior high at the time, and I was just a bit too old for the anime, and as such, the games never grabbed me at that point. But I jumped into it as an adult, and my love of grinding for levels, my compulsion to, you know, collect things, is just wildly sated by the series of video games. However, it is not understated enough to say that each new game that comes out is basically the exact same fucking game that came before it, possibly all the way back to the original releases of Red and Blue for the Game Boy back in 1996. You play as a youngster who comes of age and decides he's going to jump into the profession of training and mastering Pokemon. Then it tells being given your very first starter slash partner Pokemon and taking that creature out into the world to beat the shit out of other wild Pokemon, capturing them in their weakened state and forcing them to repeat the cycle of beating the shit out of every other creature until you've caught every single one in the world, basically. There's also the inclusion of rival gangs of Pokemon-obsessed youth who want to take all of yours and generally just be dickheads to varying degrees of impact on the world around them. You know, they may be just street-level gangs, they may be thugs for a major corporation, it varies from game to game, but it's all essentially the same. There's also Pokemon gyms where you train your Pokemon to become strong enough to conquer the Pokemon of the gym leaders, and you earn badges and you get all kinds of accolades and shit, and there's plenty of exploration as you make your way through each game's plot, which is also kind of the same plot every single time. And that is literally what every single fucking Pokemon game ever made has been. And it's fucking fun. Especially with the advent of online multiplayer aspects in the most recent releases in the franchise. But aside from some very shallow gimmicks thrown in each time, there's been an incredible lack of evolution, which I know is ironic, in how the game plays, how the stories progress, and the Pokemon available for you to catch and train, and the end goal both in terms of completing the story and completing your Pokedex, and claiming every Pokemon in the world as having been captured and studied. I think it's the fact that these games are overseen, developed, and marketed largely by committee by these three very, very successful and large companies who have become very successful with the formula they've created. I think there's a lack of both need to evolve their formula because it's been working like gangbusters for over two decades, and I think there's also probably a bit of corporate fear in changing up that formula and doing something weird and drastic and unusual and brand new. Every large profit-driven corporation is, to some degree, scared to try new things and potentially alienate their devoted fanbase, which is understandable. And Pokemon fans love the consistency and the predictability of the franchise. There's something warm and comforting about being able to jump into a 30-hour RPG and play it super casually, basically knowing exactly what to expect at every turn. But in an industry where even the likes of Mario and Legend of Zelda have undergone some pretty radical leaps forward, it's weird to see Pokemon only evolve in terms of visuals. And even then, it's like some really fucking modest strides. Like, Pokemon Sword and Shield is fucking ugly, y'all. Like, it's got character. It's not intolerable, but it's pretty fucking ugly. But they are fun! That absolutely casual approach to development lends itself to a very casual style of gameplay, and they're wonderful games to play on the train to work, or unwinding in bed before going to sleep. But, I keep flip-flopping, but they're also kind of fucking terrible because it's the same damn game we've been playing for 20 years, repackaged with relatively meaningless new updates like new legendary Pokemon, or you know, the same biomes that are repackaged as new towns, or some silly gimmick like Gigantamaxing or Terastalizing, which are getting really fucking difficult to pronounce with each new game. I had to re-record that line 3 times before it finally made the edit. So it's that lack of evolution and trying new things and the terribly dated but charming gameplay cycle that puts Pokemon on my list of the worst best games ever. And before I get to the second half of this list, Goldblum, the Space Castle's onboard AI, is telling me that if I don't get to some messages from Earth, I'm going to make the list of his worst humans on the Space Castle. Okay, like, I mean, Goldblum, I'm the only human on the Space Castle, my dude. But okay, point taken, Goldblum. Let's hear from some excellent indie podcasts, and then we'll come back with 2 more of my worst best games ever.
Hey guys, this is Dan the GM, welcoming you to the promo of What the Dice. What the Dice is an actual play RPG based in Pathfinder, very much a homebrew, but this story will get you hooked. It's all about heroes, encroaching darkness, and forgotten gods, all wrapped up in a strange little bubble. Follow us on Twitter at What the Dice Pod and on all major streaming platforms.
Hi, I'm Warren. I know next to nothing about music or musical theater. Does this sound like you or somebody that you know? If so, tune in to Tone Deaf, a theater nerd's guide for their musically challenged spouse, every Wednesday, where my wife Kay,
that's me,
broadens my horizons and makes me less of an uncultured swine.
Oh, Warren, you're not a swine.
Thanks, Kay. Wait.
Tune in every Wednesday to Tone Deaf.
And we're back. And the next game on my list is going to piss even more people off, especially since the game has gotten something of a resurgence in popularity after a very, very successful release of an adaptation on HBO. Yes, I'm talking about The Last of Us. I will pause while you throw your laptops and your cell phones against the wall in rage. Let me know when you're good, and we'll continue. All good? All right, rad. So, The Last of Us was developed and released in 2013 by Naughty Dog, who I fucking love, for the Sony PlayStation 3. It's been re-released multiple times now with some moderately improved graphics each time, and I get why people fucking love this game. They'd probably buy it every fucking year if Sony re-released it every year with some new features or shiny new visuals, and I understand why they love it. I personally think the story is trite, what with like a zombie apocalypse. Yes, I know they're technically not zombies. And the near misery poor levels of hell the characters go through to survive and achieve their goals. Yes, I said trite. The best way to send your hate mail to me is spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com. I will read every single letter, I promise. It's one of the best-selling video games of all time, but I think the story is boring. I think the controls are kind of shitty and frustrating. I think the game is honestly kind of overly cheap at times. Fuck clickers and the absolute lack of fairness and balance they introduce all too often in the game's duration. I still to this day cannot fucking stand that sequence where you're like in the two skyscrapers where the one's falling over and leaning over against the other one. Dealing with the clickers in that area just fucking sucks. And I've played through the game multiple times and every single time I almost just want to fucking quit right at that point. It sucks. I hate it. They should do a special re-release edition and the ability to just skip that entire fucking sequence. That's how much I hate it. However, the craftsmanship on display with this game is fantastic. The two main characters, Joel and Ellie, are wonderfully portrayed and brought to absolute breathing life by Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson, respectively, and they are two of the best voice actors in the industry, and they have been for some time now. I think they're top fucking tier performers. And it's their craft on display as actors in this game that drives it forward and made it an experience that I was compelled to finish, even though I'm not head over heels in love with the story or the gameplay. The story does have some wonderful character moments, though, again to Baker and Johnson's credit. Again, the two are just, they're fucking wonderful performers. I really think that they're what makes this game work. I genuinely believe this game wouldn't be the hit it was or have the following it does without those two actors at the heart of it. I cannot say enough good things about them and their characters. And I'm actually glad the game was a smash hit because it led to the sequel, The Last of Us Part 2, which I think is damn near one of the best games I have ever played. Like, no fucking joke. I am slightly below lukewarm on the first game, but I think Part 2 is a 12 out of 10 experience. The gameplay is vastly improved. It's so much more fair and fluid while also being thrilling. The combat is just fucking stellar. The story is so much more compelling than the first, with these two main characters who are at odds with each other and are on opposing sides of the plot, but they're far more alike than they know. And the story does a much, much better job of taking all the pain and misery that these two characters both endure and dish out, and turning it into an incredibly compelling, heartbreaking, and thought-provoking statement on what rage and vengeance can do to someone, and how it can consume and transform them into monsters. So based on the absolutely stellar performance of the first game's two leads, and the fact that it led to one of the best game sequels of all time, but also kind of being a fucking slog and tedious to play much of the time, The Last of Us sits on my list of the worst best games of all time. And finally, I'm not pulling any punches here. I'm taking body shots and I'm landing jabs when you flinch. The last game on this list of the worst best games of all time is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Developed and released in 2019 by Respawn Entertainment, who I believe by law cannot create games without both really iffy platform jumping and wall running, Jedi Fallen Order landed on every goddamn platform except for the Nintendo Switch, which can barely handle Pokemon games that still have graphics from the Nintendo 64 era. Everyone was fuck all excited for this game, myself included, and then the news broke out that it was a quote-unquote Souls-like game, and I started getting a little worried and apprehensive. And then the early release copies started landing in the hands of reviewers and streamers, and we all saw and remember that ridiculously glitched AT-ST boss fight video on social media. And after that, I started to get even more worried. But I think everybody and their siblings were and are starved for really good Star Wars video games because of EA's chokehold on the franchise and their absolute unwillingness to release anything but a shitty fucking Battlefront game every so often. Battlefront and Madden, man. Like, for real, like, fuck EA for taking two of my favorite things, football and Star Wars, and just giving me, like, absolutely nothing in terms of video games to support these passions in between movies or football seasons. Like, just fuck you, EA. But anyway, Jedi Fallen Order is the story of Cal Kestis. He's a Padawan who survived Order 66, aka one of the lamest ways that George Lucas ever wrote himself out of a corner with the prequels, and is living in secrecy trying to eke out a living in the galaxy. Cal's pal and co-worker has a near-death experience, which compels Cal to use the Force to save him, and this gets the Empire sniffing around looking for some Jedi leftovers. Cal is then thrust into an adventure where he rediscovers his connection to the Force, and he makes an effort to try and restore the Jedi Order in hopes of defeating the evil Empire. From there, it's an action game akin to the likes of Dark Souls, or Soulsborne, or Demon Souls, or Elden Ring, or Dark Souls 2, and, I mean, you get the picture. Okay, so, like, first of all, it's fucking weird to make a Souls-like game, which is largely based around really long and difficult boss fights, when your main character wields a weapon that's very famous for being able to cut through almost anything very quickly. It doesn't work from the jump to be having these long-ass boss battles where you're wailing on something over and over again with a fucking lightsaber, doing no visible damage until the fight eventually ends. But whatever, I can deal with it, I can process it, I can move on. The real problem I have with this game lies in the fact that the game operates like a Souls-like game, but without any of the balance and understanding that is absolutely required of the genre in order for it to work. Hidetaka Miyazaki and his cohorts at From Software Inc., they understand that with the extreme difficulty of their games, there must also come a strong sense of fairness and an even stronger sense of satisfaction and catharsis in beating the enemies in their games. They've developed some of the absolute fucking most difficult fucking battles in video games ever. And yet, those fights are 100% fair. And when you die, you know it's because you fucked up, or you got impatient, or you came into it terribly unprepared. The enemies in the game are tough sons of a bitches, and they may seem overpowered or overly agile, but they conform and adhere to the same rules that you do as the player. There is absolute craftsmanship and care put into the balance of top-tier Souls-like games, and that's why we enjoy them, and that's why we keep coming back for more punishment. Now, despite their best efforts, and despite a great soundtrack, great graphics and performances from the actors in the game, Respawn does not capture that same sense of balance and fairness, and for me personally, it just breaks the game from the get-go. Cal Kestis adheres to rules like no animation canceling and realistic movements that you have to commit to before making them. The enemies in the game, however, can fucking 360 no-scope your ass mid-animation. They can spin around all the fucking way around in mid-animation and fucking hit you Well, you're helpless because you're still committed to the same animation that you just, you know, went through. They don't follow the rules of physics, much less the hallowed and essential gameplay mechanics that are required to make a Souls-like game work. I know why people love the game, and I don't think it's entirely because, you know, we're so starved for good Star Wars games. I don't think that's it. And I don't begrudge them for it like I do people who think The Last Jedi is a good movie. But I find the game an exercise in frustration and tedium. And I think if Respawn didn't have the time to really do their homework and build a game within the requirements of the genre they dabbled in, then I don't really have the time to fuck with their game. Sorry. And yet, the game has a really great story that is easily better than the last six numbered episodes of the film franchise. It has an excellent score, and the actors are stellar. I've been a fan of Cameron Monaghan since his earlier days in Shameless on Showtime, and he's wonderful as the somewhat broken and apprehensive yet heroic Cal Kestis. Deborah Wilson plays the former Jedi Master who recruits Cal into his new cause, and she's gone from being like an original Mad TV cast member to being like a really prominent and awesome voice actress with a fucking kick-ass resume in the world of video games. Like, she's killing it. This is a game that has everything going for it, and if it had been more of a traditional action game, I think I would fucking adore it. But they had to get fancy, they had to try and make it a Souls-like game because they're so popular, and for me at least, it breaks the game on a foundational level because they just didn't do their due diligence in trying to make a game in that style. It's just not fair. I think it's largely broken. Just don't find it fun. And for that reason, Star Wars : Jedi : Fallen Order is the last of this episode's worst best video games. If you've made it this far to this episode, thanks. If you're in the middle of writing your hate mail, finish it up and send it. I can take it. I will read it. And I might even respond. Let's have that conversation. That's what Space Castle is always about. It's about getting excited and fired up about something we love and talking about it. And you can do so once again at spacecastlepodcast@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media at the handle @spacecastlepod, or you can check out spacecastlepod.com, where you'll find all the links to all of that on top of all the episodes of the podcast and the YouTube videos. Thank you all so much for hanging out with me again this week. I hope I didn't jimmy your jimmies too much. I hope you'll share this episode with a friend and see what they think. I cannot be the only person who doesn't love Jedi Fallen Order. I refuse to believe that. Give me some hope in this world, dear listeners. In the meantime, Space Castle is, as always, your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, reminding you to take care of each other and be good.